It is Wednesday at this time. That usually means the beginning of our Vents Day segment, and that is exactly what's happening. Your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. The topics this week, heat and smoke relief, how you find that when the heat and smoke are particularly bad, and wildfire management more broadly. Our phone number on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, to talk about those by email jx@jeffnet.org. First, let's take up the issue of how you are dealing with heat and smoke this summer, because there has been a lot of both. The air quality map of the state of Oregon looked like a Christmas tree over the weekend. A green map with a bunch of red orbs on it. Air quality was unhealthy in almost the entire state, with a single green dot at one point at Hermiston, way up in the northeast. Northern California looked a little worse on a different map, with red and dark red points showing air quality unhealthy, very unhealthy, or hazardous, especially close into the big fires in Trinity County. So the question for you is, what do you do when the weather turns super hot or super smoky or both? How do you keep yourself from overheating? What do you do with activities or anything else to avoid getting too much of the smoke into your lungs? Let's hear your story. This is what we're talking about today on the Jefferson Exchange. And you join it by calling 800-838-3760 or by sending an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Item two is very much related, but on a broader scale, relating to what we as a society do about wildfires and the fighting of them. We've had big fire seasons before. For us old timers, 1987 and 1988 come to mind. But the big and bad ones now seem to come closer together more frequently, burning more forest and rangeland, requiring more firefighters and dollars to pay them, starting sooner and ending later. This may be the world we live in now. As several observers and headlines put it, maybe smoky summers are the new normal. So think big. What about our current firefighting efforts or approaches could use tweaking, updating, or out-and-out overhaul? Back up a step further and talk about the larger picture of the places that burn. What do we need to change about how forests are managed, or how we manage the building of homes near forests, or any of that? We start with Lane in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. So I bicycle everywhere, and it was actually, I think, on one of your programs that are talking about the N95 masks, and that's what I bought mine up at Black Oak Pharmacy, and in fact I bought some for friends, and it's really easy to breathe in there, and you get completely clean air, and it's great. And that's what I use pretty much everywhere.
And how does it feel though when you're bicycling with the mask on?
Actually, it's got a lot more room in it than a normal mask. Those normal, like painter's masks, you have very little room in there inside, and you can get, it's hard to get the air, but this makes you look like a duck, but you've got a lot of room to breathe, so it's actually quite comfortable, and the top part kind of bends to over your nose, so.
I forgot about the duck look there. It does sort of pooch out just a little bit, like one of those coffee filters or something.
Right. So, I mean, some people said, you know, that I could add things to make it look like an Oregon duck, right?
Uh-huh.
Right. So
there's an idea. So how much biking do you think you do in any given day, Lane?
Oh, well, any given day, it's probably about 15. It's not that, it's not overly much, but I joined search and rescue, so I bicycle out to the station, and I bicycle out to my mechanic, who's about 8 miles away. He's working on my truck, and I bicycle around town. So,
even on the hottest days, even on the smokiest days.
Well, I run my errands and go get groceries and everything. And the pickup's going to be fixed in a couple of days, but I need to forget that I have one. So.
Just stick with the
bicycle. I'm 65, and I need the exercise. So,
okay, Lane, thanks for sharing the story. Very much appreciate it. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're looking for your stories about how you manage yourself and your health on days when the heat and the smoke are a lot to deal with. 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. The broader issue we're talking about on this Vents Day is wildfire management itself, what you think we should be doing differently in an age when we can have hundreds of thousands of acres burning in our states at any given time. Join us on the Exchange to talk about that and how we approach wildfire management, either in the season when the wildfires are burning, and how we we approach the forest management getting to where wildfires burn. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or go to our Facebook page and click under where it says Vents Day, Heat Smoke Stories. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or Facebook. Here is Seth in Central Point. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Got kind of a broad comment on the broader issue.
Okay.
I think, too, especially with the climate change, you know, globally, it does seem like it's not going to be able to be held back by conventional means of what we've been able to do for the last even 50 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, watching, you know, a lot of, you know, what's going on around the world, too, even with, you know, things melting and droughts in different areas, that seems like the issue needs to be covered by multiple groups at the same time, whether it's, you know, selective logging to thin, you know, populated areas so that they're not in as much danger, or community outreach programs where they're informing those who live in danger areas to keep their homes safe, or at least what to do when they need to evacuate quickly. So, I mean, it's, I don't think it's something that can be solved just by one group doing one thing. It's going to need an entire movement to get everybody at least prepared for things to get worse before they get better.
A lot of different moving parts. What about strategies to thin the woods, or to keep people from building quite so close to the woods, things like that?
Well, that might have to, you know, come first with studying the areas first, and just, you know, I mean, I think recently, whether it was like in Yosemite with limb falling on those two young men and unfortunately killing them, that was, you know, an unforeseen occurrence. You know, nobody could have saw that coming, but at the same time, it's going to take a lot of active research into the environment and into these areas where people are going into. That way they're not just, you know, we can't just go into the woods without being prepared, the same way you can't build a house without being prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's going to have to be a part of the whole education before you start populating an area, or if you've already been living in an area that's just starting to be in more danger. So it just can't be looked at the same way anymore.
Okay, good thoughts. Thanks, Seth. Good to talk to you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Your thoughts on wildfire management is the broader issue. The more specific issue is your own personal story, how you deal with the heat and the smoke on the days when they are bad, and they have been bad consistently lately. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org, or go to our Facebook page and find the Vents Day topic, which should be at this point right under the Listen Live, and make your comment there. So, let's see. I wanted to bring up to date on where things stand with air quality on the Oregon side at the moment. I'll check the California side as we get further in. At this point, pretty good, actually, west of the Cascades, generally, with lots of green dots where there were red ones all through the Willamette Valley a few days ago. Where things start to turn, of course, is in southern Oregon as we get closer to fires, burning essentially on all sides of the Rogue Valley to the north, east, south, and west. And the air quality is listed as moderate in Cave Junction, Grants Pass, Applegate, and Klamath Falls, and as unhealthy for sensitive groups in Medford. Lots of central Oregon considered moderate. This is a very different map from a couple of days ago when literally everything was red on here, and there was only one green dot in the whole state of Oregon. So things improving just a bit. Let's get your story, though. How do you cope with the smoke when it is particularly thick, when the visibility is bad, when the breathing is no particular fun, and or it's really, really stinking hot outside as well? Let's hear your own strategy stories. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or make a comment on our Facebook page. Mike in Medford writes in, fire management has become a bit insane. Isn't the only reason we fight fires is to save merchantable timberland? Should people be dying over the lumber industry? Fire is healthy and natural if it's not caused by humans. Our forests wouldn't be tinderboxes if fire was allowed to naturally clear them out, like they have done for a few million years. Saving homes and towns is one thing, but little men trying to hose down the forest is crazy. And what are your thoughts? Let's hear them. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or on Facebook. A bunch of editorials about fire management, and particularly and how things are funded, because you've been hearing a lot about the fact that the Forest Service has to take from its fire prevention budget. There's no particular emergency budget. And the Sacramento Bee, for example, writes, last year more than 63,000 wildfires scorched 3.6 million acres across the United States, and the federal firefighting costs alone or more than $1.5 billion. In California, state funds for firefighting last year were used up by September, forcing Governor Jerry Brown to tap state natural disaster reserves and federal money and veto $100 million in higher education funding. This year, those costs are expected to run even higher. The Obama administration wants to create disaster funds for wildfire fighting that the Interior and Agriculture Departments, which oversee federal firefighters, could automatically draw on when an extreme fire taps out their budgets. Right now, when firefighting in national forests costs more than expected, federal agencies pay from set-asides for wildfire prevention, a strategy that has a perverse effect of diminishing the resources needed to head off the problem. Republican leaders in Congress, many of whom have parched public land in their districts, should see this crisis for the new normal that it is and rise to the occasion. The firefighters on the line are flesh and blood facing a colossus and deserve no less. That from the Sacramento Bee editorial board. Let's get your thoughts. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or comment on Facebook on wildfire strategies and your own personal stories. Let's go to Ryan and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Well, good morning, Jeffrey.
Hi.
This is an interesting topic on all of the levels. I currently have a cough because of the smoke and seem to be more sensitive to it. And I don't have a great strategy if it were persisting more than 3, 4, 5, 6 days. But I think that the more important piece, and you just highlighted it for me perfectly, and that is that we don't invest in resiliency for, you know, the West Coast Mediterranean climate. I mean, we live in a fire ecology. We live in a Mediterranean climate that's defined by that summer drought. You know, that we don't get considerable amounts of rain from May through, you know, September, October. And because of that, we will have dry fuels. When we've gone out of our way to create enormous amounts of dry fuels, through mismanagement of forest lands primarily, but grasslands, rangeland, you know, the Okanagan and other areas, you know, we don't invest. You know, we're really good at the disaster. We're really good at putting, you know, maybe $1 billion, some number, into fighting, you know, being resistant to fire, in effect, because we have to be, because we have no choice. And then we don't go, okay, so where do we want to be in 7 or 8 or 10 years, and how do we find that hundreds of millions of dollars to make the forest healthier, to make the communities we live in more resilient, not just resistant? And, you know, and we're going to have to come to terms with this. Some fires are normal, and some fires need to burn so that we become more resilient. And how do you manage the smoke, you know, or the fire that happens to get away? we just are so bad about this. I don't know what else to say. But you know, when you start thinking about the tsunami preparation and you start thinking about landslides that will come with the new El Nino and all the rest of the stuff, you know, how do we get a shift from, you know, trying to keep everything static to trying to keep everything dynamic? Just not where we seem to be good at as human beings. So I don't know.
Yeah, we do respond well to disasters. Good point there, Ryan, and appreciate that. Good to talk to you. We did have the folks on from Ashland Fire and Rescue yesterday, the chief and the fire marshal, talking about their programs where they'll have the Ashland is Ready session. I think it was on September 12th. And they'll leave you with it. You get to leave the session with a 72-hour preparedness kit. But the point is that you need to do some stuff to get ready for emergencies like the ones that Ryan just talked about. So we're curious about that, whether you've done any particular preparations. I mean, do you have a wildfire kit? Do you live close enough to the woods where you've got a box of stuff that you identify as the stuff that's going with me in a heartbeat if you have to get out of there? I mean, how do you prepare for wildfire or any particular emergency for that matter? How have you been dealing with the smoke and the heat of late? And what do you think about wildfire management generally? Are we handling it the right way? I mean, are we devoting too many resources to the crisis that Ryan just talked about and not enough to trying to prevent that from becoming a crisis in the first place by perhaps thinning out the woods or something? Join us on the exchange with your thoughts, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org, or make your comments on our Facebook page. One of the strategies I was looking for here, a couple different places offer ideas for how to deal with smoke from wildfires, including the Centers for Disease Control at cdc.gov/features/wildfires. One of the tips is to keep indoor air as clean as possible. If you're advised to stay indoors, keep windows and doors closed. Run an air conditioner if you have one, but keep the fresh air intake closed and the filter clean to prevent outdoor smoke from getting inside. If you do not have an air conditioner and it is too warm to stay inside with the windows closed, seek shelter in a designated evacuation center or away from the affected area. But also, avoid activities that increase indoor pollution. Burning candles, fireplaces, or gas stoves can increase indoor pollution. Vacuuming stirs up particles already inside your home, contributing to indoor pollution. And smoking, of course, it puts even more pollution into the air. Interesting, though, vacuuming. If you're stuck inside by the heat and smoke, don't vacuum the rug. I'm okay with that. How about you? 800-838-3760 by phone anywhere in the listening area, by email jx@jeffnet.org, or put your comments on our Facebook page where we have a Vince Day topic listing right there. Just go ahead and put your comments under that. We hope to hear from you fairly soon. We have a couple of other bits to put here on the air, including the Bend a Bulletin editorial about Congress and a wildfire spending bill. And the bulletin starts, "Let's stop letting forests burn down. More than 44,000 acres are burning in Oregon as of Tuesday." This is from August 12th. "The Rocky Fire in California is bigger than all of those in Oregon put together. Wildland firefighters worry they're seeing larger fires, hotter fires. They devour lives, wildlife habitat, homes, and watersheds. Congress could have done something about this," the Bend a Bulletin says. "There have been proposals around for years that would change how wildfires are fought. It wouldn't be about different firefighting techniques. The bills backed by Oregon legislators would have overhauled how the fire money is spent. The Department of the Interior and the U.S. Forest Service now typically run out of money to fight wildfires every year. Then they start eating into money from other parts of their budgets, including thinning and other fire prevention. In other words, to fight wildfires, they take money that would reduce or prevent them. The bills would have forced the federal government to stop using wildfire prevention funds to pay for fighting fire. The biggest fires would be fought instead like the natural disasters they are, with Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, money. Last year, the bill didn't pass because of concerns it would raise federal spending, but a Congressional Budget Office analysis suggests it would not actually spend more federal money. That's because money intended for wildfire prevention would actually be put to work to reduce the threat and intensity of wildfires. Wildfire prevention is much cheaper than fighting a conflagration. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon told us this week he thinks there's support in Congress to pass this sort of wildfire funding bill this year. He and other members of the Oregon delegation should make it happen. So says the Bend a Bulletin. What say you? What do you think should be happening about wildfire prevention, wildfire management strategies, how we fight the fires, and how we get ready for them? And then give your own personal story. How do you handle the days when the smoke is especially bad? How do you handle the days when the heat is especially bad? Where do you go and hide? Where do you take refuge? I was on the Oregon coast myself Sunday, Monday, and part of Tuesday, and noticed that there were a fair number of people from the Rogue Valley over there. No big surprise. I mean, it was not particularly sunny on the coast, but, boy, the temperature sure was right at 60s and 70s. And the other thing about it was the smoke just wasn't there. The visibility was for miles. You could see all the way off to the horizon on the ocean, which is something that just doesn't seem to happen in the inland valleys when the wildfire smoke gets fairly thick. It's gotten to be sort of like the summertime counterpart of the fog season for some of the narrower valleys. The folks in the Medford area know what I'm talking about. There are quite a few foggy days over the course of the winter, and now quite a few smoky days over the course of the summer. How do you deal with the smoky days? How do you escape the smoke? How do you escape the heat? And what do you think about wildfire management strategies generally, either for prevention or for attack? 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org, or place your comment on our Facebook page. And let's see, Dave in Ashland wrote in. He recommends the use of the Squirtle Squad. I'm going to guess that he's either got kids who watch Pokemon or he does, and so Squirtle actually would squirt fire, I guess, from the air. Okay, that's one way of looking at things. When we talk about fighting fires, though, and this was alluded to, I think, in Ryan's call, I'm reminded of our conversation several weeks ago with Dominic Della Sala from the Geos Institute in Ashland about wildfires, and that essentially all fires are good is the analysis that he and his team made, that there's no particular bad fire. Even the ones that burn hot and intense do things for ecosystems. They are part of the natural process. We tend to think in terms of the numbers. You know, there's 75,000 acres destroyed or something like that. Well, are they destroyed? For one thing, they're not. They're not completely burned to a nub in a lot of cases. It's usually not sterile soil, that sort of thing. Fires tend to take a mosaic pattern, as we've been told many times over, so that not everything burns within there. And I noticed, too, recently, there's a pretty good description, I mentioned this before, on the Facebook page for the Stouts Creek Fire, where there was a video demonstration of what goes on during burnouts, in which they're trying to rob the fire of fuel. So they burn material between the containment lines and the fire itself, but they choose areas where the fire will burn with a lower intensity. So they're waiting for the wind and the humidity, the temperature, and the fuels to all conspire to give them a good burnout where they get the consumption of the lower level stuff, but it stays in the ground. It doesn't get up into the canopy. You don't get a big crown fire going. What do you think? What's a good way to approach either wildfires pre, during, or post? And for that matter, what's your own strategy? How do you deal with the days when the smoke hangs thick in the air? The Oregon Shakespeare Festival has had to cancel several performances now, at the outdoor theater in particular. I don't think they've actually canceled any indoor ones, but at the outdoor theater, you've got performers using their lungs, using their voices, and they get scratchy throats when there's all that smoke out there, to say nothing of the fact that it's somewhat dangerous for folks who aren't particularly healthy to be sitting in the audience when the smoke is hanging in there thick. What do you do on those days when the smoke lies in there thick? Have you gone to the extent, as we heard from Lane in Medford, of getting an N95 mask that screens out 95% of those small particulates? How do you feel about wearing a mask in public? A lot of them around the Rogue Valley these days. Let's hear what you're seeing where you are and what you're doing for it. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Looks like Dave has a second thought after the Squirtle Squad, which is retaining the kicker so we can buy more fire equipment and hire temporary help. The kicker, of course, Oregon's unusual feature, where if the state budget amount projected for revenue comes in, if the actual revenue comes in more than 2% above what the projection was, the excess money, as it is seen as excess, gets kicked back to the taxpayers, which will happen. Oregon will be sending somewhere between $200 and $400 million back to taxpayers as credits on next year's tax bills. Let's see. We have other editorials here from the Contra Costa Times in California, also making the case that wildfire costs must come from disaster funds. The fire suppression part of the Forest Service budget was just under $1.1 billion for 2014, with another $1 billion for fixed fire preparedness costs. This report, it indicates that 16% of the annual budget of the Forest Service is spent on fighting fires, says the U.S. burns twice as many acres as three decades ago, and Forest Service scientists believe the acreage burned may double again by mid-century. So we're burning a lot more land over the course of our fire season. The report further notes that building more and more structures in harm's way only compounds the problem. It also points out the irony that the current system requires the money to fight fires comes directly away from forest management projects that prevent or greatly lessen future fires. The Contra Costa Times continues. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, whose department includes the Forest Service, says major fires such as the Rocky Fire, now burning intensely near Clear Lake, should be treated as natural disasters, much like hurricanes and floods, and funded from outside the Forest Service budget. Vilsack says such fires are only 1 to 2% of the total, but they chew up 30% of firefighting costs. Vilsack is right. There are a number of proposals in Congress that would either alleviate or fix the problem. Any of them is better than what we have now. Congress must stop kicking the can down the road and act this year. And that from the Contra Costa Times, weighing in on wildfire management strategies. And we've also been talking about your personal strategies for dealing with heat and smoke. This has been Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for taking part, and thanks for listening.